Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. She was a burnt out high school teacher who battled TMS symptoms for years before healing herself completely and leaving her dead end job. Simply put, she gets it, especially the frustration of doing all the right things, implementing the tools, and still not getting the results that you deserve. If this is you, I encourage you to book a free introductory call to learn more about her tailored one-on-one coaching program. During this time, she will identify the specific barriers that are getting in the way of you fully healing, unraveling blocks such as subconscious or negative beliefs, fearful thought patterns, or unfelt emotions is crucial for living a pain-free life again. Don't settle for partial healing. Bet on yourself again by going to jeanniecolwin.com, that's JeannieKulwin.com, to book your free call. Also check out her impressive testimonials page to see her clients' transformations firsthand. Welcome back to the show. It is April 25th, 2024. Yeah, it's great to have everybody back. Today's episode, I've had repeat guests on the show quite a few times. Typically, though, these are people that are therapists or coaches, sometimes doctors, that are coming back to talk about maybe updated projects or studies or things that they're working on, research that they're doing, things like that. But I was trying to think back. I don't know if I've had somebody who was on the show as like a recovery story that shared a story quite like today's guest and then had such a dramatic improvement later on after the fact. So back on October 26th of 2022, I had this woman, Trish, on the show. And Trish had talked about burning mouth syndrome or burning mouth pain and how she'd been suffering from that for a long time, along with some other things we talk about. It's episode 247 if you want to go back and listen. But now that we are 18 months later, a year and a half to the day is tomorrow, in terms of the last time that we had her on the show, and everything's completely different. So there has been an entire transformation in a lot of ways from her career, but to her pain levels and just kind of the way to which she goes through her day to day. And I think that this is the kind of interview that a lot of people have been wanting and waiting for, is, hey, somebody that can talk about sort of their process along the way and how they got there. I think a lot of times recovery stories, while they're great, there is feedback sometimes that they're one-dimensional. And so you kind of get everybody's sort of, you know, life story, and then that's kind of it. And one thing that I've been trying to do over the last year, year and a half, has been spending maybe a quarter of the interview on the overall story. But the meat and potatoes that we really want is, how did you get from being in pain all the time to not being in pain all the time? Like, what sort of steps did you take? This one goes even a little bit further because it's, hey, I was having these issues. I came on the show. We talked about these issues that I seem to not be able to get over. And then fast forward a year and a half and you have somebody that has completely eradicated them. So I'm very excited for you to listen to Trish from the Midwest. And without further ado, here is she and I. Check it out. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. I've got a returning guest today. I always love getting the perspective of people that have gone away for a bit and then come back. And we were joking before we came on. Trish from the Midwest, who was last here October 26th of 2022, believe it or not.
Wow.
Time's a funny thing because I remember actually where... I remember where I was when I listened to the episode we recorded last time. And... I was mowing the lawn, which doesn't lend itself well to like late October, so I don't know why. I thought it was last summer, but yeah, as I look back, no, it was a year and a half ago.
I think it was really warm that year, so maybe. I think that's maybe why you feel like it was summer.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back, and thank you for being here. And actually, I was listening to this morning when I was walking the dogs, and there was a particular 45-second clip that really jumped out at me. Do you mind if we listen to that together?
Of course.
I'm hopeful that you can hear it, actually, now that I think about it. Maybe I should have tested that. Okay, hold on. I'm going to actually just play a random YouTube video, just some sound, and then you just tell me if you can hear the sound, because I realize that I might just be playing something.
For sure.
You might not even hear it. Okay, let's see. I'm going to pull out the wrestling nerd in me and just tell me if you can hear.
Of course it's a wrestling video.
Of course it's a wrestling video. Just tell me if you can hear any of this. Hang on.
Okay. Yep.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Do you hear that?
No.
Ugh.
Well, you could give me like a brief synopsis of what it had said and play it for the listeners. I'm down for that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's a good idea. Let me just, I'll listen through for 45 seconds because the listeners will be able to hear this. And then I'll come back and give you a synopsis of what was said. How's that sound?
Okay.
Okay, beautiful. Hold on for about 45 seconds.
Yep.
So this is where we stand, Eddie. I am feeling better. However, I do not feel like I'm in this rut of like, is this ever going to go away? Because I know what made me angry. I know I've been able to tap into these emotions. The journal speak thing did not work well for me because I am very self-aware. I know, you know, kind of the beast I'm up against as far as my emotions and how I feel. So it felt like I was really rehashing a lot of that trauma again and again. And I just, it didn't make me feel very good. So here is where we are. I am fully functional. Like, you'd never be able to tell that I have this going on. Very few select people know. But I'm frustrated and I'm just like, I get it, you know, I get it, but why can I not make this go away?
What's okay. What's kind of,
I almost typed verbatim what you said. So here we go. This is where we stand. I feel better. However, I'm in this rut of, is this ever going to go away? I know what made me angry. I know the beast I'm up against. I don't want to keep rehashing that trauma over and over again. I'm fully functional and you'd never be able to tell that I have anything going on. Very few people do, but I'm very frustrated. I get it, but why can I not get better? That was the exact quote. So, by the way, if you want to listen to the whole thing, it's episode 247, like I said, October of 2022. But let's start there. When we talked, it seemed like you had sort of made, and I think a lot of people are sort of in this realm where kind of like they feel that maybe initial have like a good rush of feeling better and then they kind of either stop or even they go backwards and then the real frustration sets in. So give us your story.
Okay. So if you go back and listen to that episode, it was quite an emotional experience, much like all of your guests to come on here and share that. I had dealt with something that's called burning mouth syndrome, and it's pretty much, it feels like it's like nerve pain on your tongue all day. The pain pattern tends to change for some people. Sometimes it's always there. Sometimes it waxes and wanes, brought on by different things. We know it's TMS now. Back when it started happening to me, I did not know what TMS was. And much like many of the listeners, I Googled and Googled and Googled and searched and researched. And that's how I came to TMS. Thank God, you know. But it all started when I was in a really high stress period of time in my life. I was homeschooling my children. It was right after COVID. I had had my fourth child, and he was so high needs, very intelligent child, but just cried nonstop. And, you know, like my nervous system just went completely over the edge. And I woke up one day and my mouth felt like I was like I had pennies in it or something. It was really weird. So it was like really metallic tasting. And then after that, like it just developed into a burning sensation. And it was just like, what is this? And I freaked out. I freaked out so bad. I have since spoken to several other people that have had this condition. And, one of my best friends that I have found actually dealt with this, and, Dr. Strax introduced us together.
Is this the one in Orange County? TMS
buddy.
Is it that one?
What's that?
The Orange County one that you talked about in the last interview? Okay, cool.
Yep. And it's funny because my TMS coach was Jim Prusak, and he's out in California, and hers is, I can't remember her name, but she's out here in Minnesota. So that was a fun connection, but, it is a really rough space to be in, my friend. I will tell you, you get no reprieve. I mean, it's not like back pain where, you know, and not to minimize anybody's human experience. I mean, we all know that it is rooted in the mind, and the mind is what makes you continue to obsess about it. So it's pain and suffering regardless. But
okay, so let's pause right there for a second. I want to let you know this episode is brought to you by Pain Free Comeback. the proven mind-body program for athletes with chronic pain. Pain-Free Comeback was created by certified chronic pain coaches Miriam Gauci Bongiovanni and Alec Casson. Both guests on this show multiple times. Miriam is a serious rock climber. Alec is a former semi-pro cyclist whose former teammates include national champions and Olympians. Both face severe chronic pain, scary structural diagnosis, and know what it's like to have their favorite activities and athletic identities ripped away. They're both pain-free today with remarkable recovery stories and have helped numerous athletes do the same. Now they're offering a first and one of its first of its kind, unlike anything that I've come across. This is what makes Pain-Free Comeback unique, is that it's built specifically for athletes and active people. Together, Miriam and Alec package their 20 years of experience learning about chronic pain and optimal athletic performance into a greatest hits collection, so to speak, of videos, audios, and exercises that have empowered numerous chronic pain sufferers to create remarkable breakthroughs. I've checked out the program myself. I highly recommend it. It's the type of offering that I wish I would have created for myself, but I'm so glad that they did. Their signature Pain-Free Comeback program is on sale now and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Learn more at painfreecomeback.com. Let's go back to Trish and I.
Yeah, there is no reprieve. And the mouth is such a sensory organ. It's where you talk. It's where you eat. It's where you express yourself. You have a lot going on. And I found this work, thankfully, just a couple months into my journey with that. But it took me a while to get better. And that was just because of the level of fear that I had had.
Yeah.
I'm somebody that has a lot of childhood trauma. And I am very thankful. And I apologize for anybody listening that's like, don't say it. But I'm going to go ahead and say it. I am thankful that I was made to work for my healing. I was made to work for it. I'm not an overnight success story. I will never claim to be. However, I do notice a common theme with overnight success stories is they tend to get hit later on.
Yep.
And then that becomes the thing that's hard for them. Not me. I mean, I've had TMS all my entire life, but it wasn't until something like this hit me that made me really go and start doing the work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's put us back to October of 22 and where you kind of had the struggle. Where, at what point after that did you start to see a decent amount of success? I'm not saying that you sounded hopeless or anything like that in that conversation, but we are here for an update. And so something has changed in the last 18 months.
Yeah. So let's see. So we talked in, you said October
of 22. Right? Yeah.
October of 22. I had just joined, I just started going to school for fire, to mm-hmm. be a firefighter.
Yeah.
I was taking my fire one, fire two hazmat. I had just started that in September. I joined my local fire department. I graduated, and it's a common theme in my life to do noble professions. Yeah. I used to work in law enforcement. I've always wanted to help people. You know, I was, like I said, a child that had a lot of trauma. And so anyway, that was kind of my way of transmuting my pain into, you know, helping others. But it was not until I went through a huge event with the fire department that I really realized, like, holy shit, I am not living in alignment with who I am.
Are you willing to talk about it?
Yeah,
all?
Of course. Absolutely. I am an open book today. As you know, you follow me on Instagram. I'm super into motorcycles, mm-hmm. and, you know, not your typical feminine things.
You got tattoos, you got long hair, you got earrings, you got motorcycle. We're the same person.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're not so much into the heavy metal music though. We need to put you on.
I'm way more into the, it's like hip hop or it's 90s alternative, or I'm kind of not into it. Or Taylor Swift. I'm down with her new albums today. Like, you know, it's that stuff.
I'm pretty eclectic too. Yeah. It's just that's where I tend to anyway err. But so I had gone into the fire service. It was something I had always wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to get back in law enforcement. And I was the only female on our fire department. And I did not know going in that it was going to be such a toxic environment. It started off fine. They were pretty accepting of me with, you know, a few the good old boys that don't think women should be doing this, yep. you know, and I'm a small person. I'm 5'3". I'm, you know, pretty muscular, but I'm still only like 130 pounds. But I mean, I'm a hard worker. I can bust ass in the gym and was a really good firefighter. But suddenly I remember the fire department Christmas party, and I got a really backhanded comment from one of their wives. I was there with my husband, and he's our mechanic in town. We own an auto repair shop here where we live. And I remember her coming up to me and she's like, "How does it feel to be married to the hot mechanic in town?" God. And I'm like, "Good, you're paying my bills," yeah, you know, like, yeah. And she had said something about, you know, women are so excited to always see your husband and drop their cars off. You know, she was being very rude. She yeah. was being very passive aggressive with me. Looking back on that now, obviously she was feeling threatened by me working alongside of her husband for whatever reason. Well then it started to turn into more things, and I needed all new turnout gear because everything that we had was huge on me. Mm-hmm. So I was wearing hand-me-downs for months until I got new turnout gear. And then all of a sudden somebody started a rumor that the fire chief had the hots for me, and that's why I was getting all new stuff. And that really hurt me. Especially because the place that rumor originated was somebody who my husband has been friends with since he was young. These are all people in my community.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of blindsided by it. And then it just seemed like one by one, they kind of started to turn on me. And I remember sitting in a meeting one night and I had so much to say. Boy, I was just like, oh, I was mad. I was fuming mad. And all of a sudden, like, my face started twitching. Like, I felt like a robot that was starting to glitch out. And then my mouth just lit up like it was on fire,
yeah.
like times 10. And that was a huge moment for me that I was like, why am I even doing this? Why did I get into the fire service? I wanted to help people. And my job to help other human beings is being made so much more difficult by these people that are threatened by a woman in their work environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked there throughout the summer, but it just ate at me so bad.
Were there any other women in the department?
What's that?
Are there any other women in the department as firefighters? No. Okay. No. Okay.
I live in small town Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not very progressive around here. We'll just say that. But going through all of that and seeing how angry that made me, it put me in a really depressed mindset. Was feeling very anxious, was feeling a lot of the symptoms back again. And I just took the summer to try to do things that I enjoyed, going kayaking with my family, you know, horseback riding, riding my motorcycle, whatever. And I just kind of had this epiphany one day, and I'm like, what if me going through all of this and the physical symptoms are just a knock at the door from who I am on the inside, truly deep down, saying, hey, you're not living in alignment with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of jarring for me. I know a lot of people will have their own experiences and go through their own experiences where they kind of have those aha moments. Sometimes for people, it is this moment, that moment, like a bunch of little ones, and other people, it's a huge one. For me, that was a pretty big moment for me. And I wrote up my letter of resignation, and I pretty much told them all to fuck off in the most professional way yeah. possible.
You spelled it with a PH, PHUCK.
Of course. And was just done with it. And it was a lot to process. I worked so hard in firefighter school. I had been in several fires by this point, you know, putting my life on the line.
Yeah.
And it felt like it all went out the window. But I came to this space after I had processed it that really all I wanted to do was help people. And here's where it gets interesting. So we're constantly told about our nervous system's reaction. What are we told that the sympathetic nervous system consists of? That's fight, flight, freeze, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We always forget that fourth one. Do you know what it is?
Is it
fawn?
Fawn. Okay.
Fawn. So that was something, a concept that was never really brought up to me. We always focus on the fight, flight, freeze. But that fawning part is that people pleaser tendency. It's that people pleasing behavior. And I learned that from a very young age because I grew up with a dad who was an alcoholic and had borderline personality disorder stuff going on. And there was a lot of abuse in my household. So I learned very early on that I could disarm him by just doing, saying things that would appease him or doing things and shrinking myself down and staying small.
Yeah.
So that really cultivated that people pleasing personality in me that I'm always trying to disarm everybody else. Therefore, I'm a very deep empath. Therefore, I carry everyone else's emotions and it's safe for me to feel everyone else's shit all the time. But when it comes to my own, that's not okay because we don't worry about me. You know what I'm saying? And that keeps me safe.
Was this a your? Sitting on the couch and it's Saturday night at 2 a.m. and this came to you?
This was something that came to me. I was out kayaking with a big group of friends and we kayak one of the local rivers or whatever. And I'm sitting there in my kayak and I'm just looking around at everything around me. And I felt a tremendous sense of gratitude for the life that I have now. Friends that I can actually call friends, you know, being outside, being healthy. I mean, I'm like, I'm able to kayak, you know, I could be dismembered, you know, and not have an arm or not have a leg. And this would be really challenging. And I just started thinking about it. And that kind of led me into a space for several weeks of, okay, what is it that I want to do? And I've always been really interested in alternative therapies and alternative healing and stuff like that. I have Native American roots. So a lot of those practices were handed down throughout my family. And I just kind of started my own spiritual quest. I have a lot of religious trauma. So growing up in the Catholic Church, you know, anything that was not explained very clear and concise in the Bible was considered very esoteric.
Yeah.
And it was of the devil. But I was always wanting to go outside of those boundaries, but there was this huge sense of guilt with that. And just allowing myself to kind of crack open that can of worms and see what my own spirituality meant to me was huge.
Talk about at what point in time are we at this point? I'm talking about the kayak expedition with the friends when you're
this last summer in June.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit more about this spiritual journey and introspection that followed.
Yeah. So, I had had, something called Reiki before done, which is like an energetic healing. In short, it's a Japanese relaxation technique where we're manually shifting you into your parasympathetic nervous system. Right. So I wanted to go get attuned for that. I'm like, I want to go through this experience. I want to know what that's like. So I went and got my Reiki attunement and that was such a wild,
does that mean training assignment. Or are you the client or are you training? What's the,
I'm training to be the practitioner.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I had been the client in the past and it interested me. And so I went and got my Reiki attunement and oh my gosh, it was just wild. Like I'm sitting there and like, we're going through the attunement process where they take you through very deep meditations. And I came out of the one and I'm like, did she put something in the coffee? Like, what
the hell? Like, yeah.
Tripping over here. But no, it was really beautiful. I remember going into the meditative state and I saw this really beautiful white light and I just came before it and I was like, what is the right religion? That was the first question out of my mouth because that plagued me for so long. And it just kind of laughed and was like, all of them.
Yeah.
You know? And that was so beautiful. And I remember leaving, I was there for 3 days and I remember leaving and like, usually I'll get right on my phone. You know, we're all into social media these days and stuff. I didn't care. Like, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted to like marvel at how beautiful the world was. So it really opened my eyes in that way. So I got my Reiki attunement and I'm like, what if we start incorporating TMS work into this mm-hmm. because people are coming to me with a dysregulated nervous system. That's really what it is, right? The energetic system is the 13th system of the body. It's just that science has not been able to link it to a body part that we can see,
yeah.
right? And so I started seeing people. I don't know. I just went for it. That's my awesome. Personality. I just go for it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I opened my practice in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's right over the bridge. I'm right on the Minnesota and Wisconsin border. I'm actually from Wisconsin, but I started seeing people, and that makes me super emotional to think about it. Just when you don't think the tears are coming, it's like sucker punch. Yeah. I see people that I see so much of myself in all the time, and to watch the light kind of come to their eyes, like, oh my God, I'm not broken. You know, just connecting with another human being. It's so beautiful. And I really think that I was meant to do this work. And I think that's probably why my journey has been so long and painstaking, because we have social media is very good in some ways, but it's also very polarizing in some ways, because you see a lot of people that are like, oh, well, you know, come to this retreat in Costa Rica for 3 days and yeah. take ayahuasca, and then we'll find out what our, you know, we're, you know, you'll meet God and all this stuff. You can't put a time limit in a dollar amount on introspection. You just can't. Mm-hmm. You have to wrestle your demons to the floor. You have to look them in the face, you know, like, and it's until you can go through that, that you're not ready to transmute that pain into medicine for somebody else. So I think that my journey is just that very much of, I just actually recently watched All the Rage.
Oh, great.
That Dr.
Okay.
Serno movie. Yep. I didn't even know that existed. And I think maybe somebody mentioned it on one of your podcasts.
It probably was me. I feel like I bring it up almost every other week.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I watched it and I'm like, if I had just seen this movie at the beginning, you know, the beginning of all of this, but Dr. Serno himself said, I have had just about every symptom in the book and then some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but like, so when you're a practitioner of stuff, it's like you have a story to tell. You have your own path that led you into doing the work that you're doing. And it was really funny. Recently, actually, I had a client come in, and her personality is very much like mine. She just seems kind of like, you know, just filled with energy and, you know, talking and, you know, just super excited and stuff like that. And I opened up to her and told her my story and what led me to doing this work. And she's like, oh my God, I had that burning mouth thing too.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm like, really? And she goes, yeah, but I went to my therapist or whatever. And she goes, yeah, people get that sometimes when they're really anxious. Mm-hmm. So she gave her some breathwork techniques. She was told it was anxiety right from the jump and accepted that. And then it went away and it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
With me, there had to have been, you know, I was like, there's got to be some sort of pathology to this. It freaked me out so bad, you know?
What do you think that, so that's an interesting question. What do you think is the difference on the divergent personalities, because we have two people, similar personalities, same symptom. One person told sort of matter of factly, it's linked to anxiety. Theirs goes away. Yours did not. So what's the difference? What's the divergence?
So the divergence there, thank you for asking that and bringing that up. The divergence there, I believe, is the fact that I'm a mother and I have 4 children. And I had a very adverse childhood experience, mm-hmm. and I wanted nothing more than to give my children exactly what I did not have. And by giving me a chronic health condition or something that I thought was going to totally incapacitate me, I'm like, who is going to take care of my children? You know, just the amount of pressure I carried around all the time on my shoulders, so much self-imposed pressure to be a perfect mother, to be a good role model. You know, I wasn't able to fail in my own mind because then I was failing my children, because then I was making them grow up like me, yeah. and I didn't want them to be like me. So I think that's a huge difference. You know, when I come home at night, it's like chaos. It's like throwing pots and pans, making dinner. I've got dogs barking. I've got, you know, horses that need to be fed. I've got all kinds of stuff. And then I've got homework and, you know, sports to run, all kinds of stuff. So I really had to prioritize making peace for myself.
Talk about that. There's a slew of parents that listen to this. How do you do that? Because the circumstance hasn't changed. You still have four kids. You still have horses. You still have this, you know, this litany of different things going on. And yet
I'm actually, currently, I am 2 weeks away from graduating yoga school as well.
Oh,
I
just awesome.
Got my 200 hour. So yeah, speaking to the parents. So if I could recommend any one book or anybody's work, to go down the wormhole of, it would be Louise Hay.
Oh God. You know, I was literally, when you were talking about that, I didn't bring it up because I was like, it's, some people think it's obscure. So I wasn't even going to bring it up, but
it
the
is
fact
absolutely not obscure.
That she talks about this link of a specific symptom to a situation in life or a personality trait. God,
yep.
That's so funny. I should have said that 3 minutes ago. And then
but
I would have stole your thunder. So
no, that's okay. So the basis of so much of the pain and suffering that we experience is guilt. I mean, you just think about it. I joke with my friends sometimes that we should call each other and play mom guilt bingo when we're like laying in bed at the end of the night, because it's like, oh, yep, I let him have Cheetos tonight. I, you know, sat down and had a beer and my kid watched me have a beer. Yeah. Or I took an extra hour for myself to go do X, Y, and Z. I mean, it is absolutely insane. But I will tell you what, if you're not showing up as yourself 100%, or at least gearing towards 100%, your kids are going to see that. And your kids don't want a parent that's, you know, operating at such a low vibration because of all the self-imposed guilt that they have on them.
Well, and to even go more meta, I feel like there is a value to children seeing the people that are closest to them have flaws, because if you think about like our generation, I don't think we're that too far away in age. I think you're a couple of years younger than me. How old are you?
I'm 34. I just turned 34 in December.
Okay. So you're 4 years younger than me. Our generation, right? If you think about like Tiger Beat magazine or any of these things that are sitting up on the shelves as we're kids, and the way that these young girls in particular, but boys and girls looked compared to the majority of people out there, and sort of the expectation that's put on people. And this is far more for women and females than it is for
But we do it men. To ourselves is the problem.
Well, right. So we do it to ourselves. But again, like all that we see out there are these flawless beings and things. And then it's kind of like you spend your whole life trying to be the flawless person. And it kind of just perpetuates this sort of cycle of guilt over and over and over. So if you, and I'm really throwing you on the spot, but can you talk about, and who knows, maybe you're still flawless Trish from the Midwest, but
oh, you know me,
but is there a
difference? I actually literally have pajama pants on right now as I speak to everybody.
Is there a different Trish that your kids see now than they saw a couple of years ago? And if so, talk about that.
Yeah. So mom a couple of years ago was trying to be such a holy roller Christian. And I don't, that is not to take any shots at anybody's religion or anything like that. I was doing it for the wrong reasons. I would not swear in front of my children. I would even talk to my friends and I'd be like, you know, we can get our point across without saying swear words, you know, stuff like that. And meanwhile, inside, I was just like cussing up a storm because I was so angry about things.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I joke with my kids, like my teenagers, and like sometimes stuff is really inappropriate. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like my husband and I'll be making a joke and they'll start laughing. And I'm like, wait, you understood that? You know, and they'll just start playing off of it and stuff like that. But like, it's okay. Something that's really healing, I was just talking to one of my friends about this. Something that's incredibly healing and that I love seeing in other women is kind of embodying that person that would have helped that little girl and encouraged her that they needed. So if you need to be loud and if you need to use your voice, And if you want to have a big personality, have a big personality. I mean, I have a big personality, but it doesn't make me a bad person. You know, you're not for everyone. That's just the way that it is.
Yep.
But the mom that my kids see now, I would say, is somebody that they can look up to a lot more than how I was being, because I was really pouring from an empty cup previously. But I actually, so I went and got my sound therapy certification as well, up in the Twin Cities. And I remember one key phrase, that the facilitator had said to me, and it sticks with me, to this day. I tell myself it every day. Healing is not getting rid of pain that you're facing. Healing is just harmonizing. So healing is harmonizing. You're harmonizing with mm-hmm. it. And that was a very powerful statement. Because if you think about it, if you stand in front of an ocean wave with like a little shield and you try to stop the wave, are you going to do anything?
No.
No, you're going to get knocked over and you're going to look like a jackass for trying to stop Mother Nature. But if you just kind of, you know, grab your little boogie board and like surf the wave and kind of go with it, it's really learning to just kind of go with the flow of life. But a lot of us that have TMS, we're very type T personality, where it's like things become unsafe if it's outside of the scope of the way that you saw it going or the way that you think it's supposed to be. And then automatically it starts the whole process. I mean, everybody knows how it feels if you experience TMS. It's that rush, you know, where your blood pressure is going up, your heart starts to race, and then you have that oxygen deprivation to any one area of your body, even though it's just a mild oxygen deprivation. It's not causing any damage, but you're so mentally taxed that your body recognizes that as being so dangerous and it throws the physical symptoms at you. So, I mean, I still get it now. I mean, it's not like I go through my life painless. I'm a human being just like everybody mm-hmm. else. Suffering's kind of part of the human condition. But you can take the mental suffering out of it by really learning to surrender, you know?
Do you still get the, I want to go back to something you just said about, still get your symptoms or still get pain, right? Like we're human. Is the thing that kind of comes back to you, not all the time, but you know, every once in a while, or life gets stressful or busy or whatever. Is it the mouth or is it something else? Or is it a few different things?
It always hits me in the mouth. Okay. Always.
Okay.
And if it wasn't the mouth, like, it's funny. I've gone quite a while now without it at all. And, which is crazy because I would only get maybe a day a month where I didn't feel it so much. But I was just thinking about it the other day. I'm like, huh, I haven't had that in a while and I haven't even really thought about it.
Yeah.
But then I was, I took a yoga class last night and it was a really intense yoga class. And, I went and got like tacos with one of my friends afterwards. And I woke up in the middle of the night and we were talking a lot about our own personal journeys, with mind body stuff. And I must have unlocked some type of anger because I woke up in the middle of the night and I had just like gnarly heartburn and it felt like something was stuck in my throat. And I like sat up from bed and, you know, took a gasp of air and thought I was choking for a second. And I kind of came to, you know, calm myself down. And then all morning at the gym this morning, of course, it felt like I had like a globus sensation in my throat. And I'm just like, seeing how far I've come before I would have been like, oh my God, I can't breathe. Yeah. I'm going home. I can't go to the gym. I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. and now I'm just like, fucking ridiculous. Like whatever, you know, like, okay. You know, like, and I think that's something that helped me too about my personality is I'm very challenging. Like I will not back down from a fight. I will not, you know, I'm very nice, you know, I'm a very kind person, whatever. But like I have learned, and it's been really healing for me to use my voice when I feel like I need to. So when something is challenging me, I'm like, nope, fine. We're taking it up a notch and I'm going to do it even more. So I learned to challenge it. I was not afraid like at all, especially when I started seeing Jim at the beginning.
Yeah.
I had a list of goals every week. Like, yep, I'm going to eat spicy food. I'm going to, you know, do whatever that triggers it. I'm going to whatever. And I went for it.
And I mean, basically to, I mean, you're poking the bear. Is that the idea that you're openly challenging to see, hey, will these symptoms ramp up or will they get worse? Or, hey, I'm literally just showing my nervous system and myself that I can take this. Like what's the, that's the logic behind it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we got into, so you've got four kids. Is it boys? Is there a girl in there thrown in somewhere?
I have three boys and a girl. And recently, this last school year, my ex-husband's 17-year-old son came to live with us as well. So we have five.
Oh, wow. Okay. God, that's a busy house. That's a busy house.
Oh my goodness. I've got like noise sensory stuff too. Cause when I was little, we would get just screamed at for being loud or, you know, whatever. So like, it's really good for me to face it. I don't ever look at things as, well, it's a challenge or I'm having a flare. No, I'm having an opportunity.
Yeah. Where does the, cause I'm kind of curious and maybe the answer to this is there is no difference, but I'm just kind of generally curious about like moms in general, but moms that have kind of gone through the path that you're talking about, the journey that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. How do you work through difficult, I'm talking about your kids having difficult situations with peers or just with life in general, not with you, not conflict with you, conflict outside. Mm-hmm. What sort of perspective had, particularly in the last year, since the kayaking trip last year, mm-hmm. what sort of perspective shift has it given you in the way to which you help your kids mitigate issues they are having? And also, is there a difference in how you would do that with your daughter versus your sons?
Oh, that's a really good question. I've always had the philosophy of, when I homeschooled, I really liked the philosophies of Charlotte Mason. She's like a homeschool philanthropist or whatever. And her big thing was every child is a person. You're born differently. And I look at my children and their personality traits, and I try to direct them and guide them based off of the ways that they learn, if that makes sense. And my kids are so different. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of mental gymnastics that I handle.
Yeah.
But I always say, hey, I see you are feeling frustrated. You have to make it known that they are seen. They are heard. And then you say, is that right? Because I want my kids to grow up knowing how to identify their feelings so that they're not struggling with TMS.
Yeah.
And then I give them options, you know, and then I open the floor for them. So for instance, my 3-year-old is just a pistol. He is my kid. He is that kid. So smart, but man, he gets to me a lot. He throws a fit because he wants a pack of fruit snacks before lunch today. And I'm like, we're not doing that. So he throws himself on the floor. He starts kicking. He starts screaming. I don't love you, you know? And I'm just like, over fruit snacks, buddy. I'm like, okay. I take a big breath myself first. And I say, mommy sees that you're feeling very angry and frustrated. Is that right? Or do you feel something else? And sometimes it'll shock me what they come up with. No, I'm feeling sad. Okay. I understand that you're feeling that. That can be really challenging. What can I do for you? That's the first thing out of my mouth is what can I do for you? Because sometimes there's nothing you can do for them and they just need to wig out or whatever. And in which sense, okay, your room is a safe space to do that. If you want to go punch your pillows or do whatever you have to do, draw pictures, whatever, you go do that. Keep yourself safe. But, you know, I'll offer a hug. I'll, you know, make sure that they know that I love them. So my daughter is turning 7 tomorrow, actually. I handle things a little differently with her because she seems so emotionally fragile. Like, she's so quiet and so sweet that, you know, if you get after her for stuff, like, she is the good girl of the family. Very obedient and very... So if I get after her for something and I raise my voice, which isn't often, you just see it. And she's just like,
God, do we have the same 6-year-old? What's her name?
She breaks Charlotte. Yeah.
Okay.
She just breaks. But then I have my 15-year-old son who is just, he's hilarious. Like, he is a huge personality. He's the cool kid at school. Like, he's just such a character. But he has a really tough time facing his feelings. So he tries to laugh things off, or he tries to be the tough guy because he's a big jock. And he was actually, there was a situation the other day where the 17-year-old boy broke up with his girlfriend, and my 15-year-old was like, well, good, you know, now you can just get over it. I don't see why you're so bummed out about it. Now you have all kinds of other girls that, you know, you just opened the door of opportunity.
Yeah.
And the 17-year-old was like, man, I can't get over it that easy. Like, this was the first girl that I ever loved, you know? And my 15-year-old's just going on and on and on. And I had to kind of pull him aside a little bit. And I'm like, you know, I see that you're trying to lift your brother up, but I'm like, we really need to honor our feelings.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means sitting with really uncomfortable things. And sometimes that just means telling your brother, hey, man, okay, I'm here. You know, just letting people know that they're seen, they're heard, and they're safe,
mm-hmm.
I think is huge.
Yeah.
I always encourage my children to try not to retaliate, you know, and things like that. But it's an interesting world, you know, that we live in these days. Being a teenager.
I mean, my 10-year-old thinks that she's a teenager. Give me another 30 years till we get there, but it's going to be here in the next, you know, the next couple of years. She reminds me she's a tween all the time. So I guess the last thing I'm kind of curious about, and then we'll wrap, is I hate to call it the Trish maintenance plan, but, 18 months,
I like that.
Yeah. 18 months ago, you're kind of struggling a little bit. You had an epiphany. You've gotten an enormous amount of education in the last year. What's the Trish maintenance plan? Say this weekend, something goes awry, your mouth is on fire. What do you do?
Well, I try to identify the feeling for sure. And sometimes you're just in such a state of disjointed chaos that it's like you don't know, because there again, we are parents, or we are human beings, and we have a myriad of things that we have to deal with all the time. So sometimes you just can't process that. But I go to my breath work. I go to, if I have to go, the gym is such a good outlet for me. I turn on music and I just go work it out, you know. Or when I start feeling symptoms or things in my body, I guess, when the TMS starts to manifest, that's always the call to me in my body saying, hey, you're not paying attention to me.
Yeah.
I try to envision it like I have my cup and I have to work to make sure it's filled to the top. It's only when it overflows and flows over that is available to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and I struggle just saying that sometimes because it's like, that makes me sound selfish, but are you really selfish if you're not showing up as your best self for everyone else?
Yep.
Or is it just, you know, one of these things that you were taught from a young age? And that's something, too, I really wanted to touch on as well for everybody listening is yoga school has, it's so funny, like the TMS themes all the time intertwining
mm-hmm.
with everything. I mean, I'm writing my thesis paper now on the vagus nerve, and I have poured so many hours. I actually gave a speech at a metaphysical and holistic wellness festival about the vagus nerve where I shared my story. This was back in February. I shared my story and I had an entire conference room filled. And I talked about TMS. I cited the Boulder back pain study. I mean, this was a 45-minute speech.
That's awesome.
And I had so many people crying in that room. And hugging me afterwards and saying like, I feel seen, you know, I have chronic pain. I feel seen. And so that was a really beautiful experience. So the vagus nerve is kind of a buzz term right now in our society. However, there's so much science backing all of this, like your vagus nerve that constitutes your parasympathetic nervous system. And what is it like 90% of your gut?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like really your second brain. So it actually works as this bidirectional highway from your brain all the way down to like your, I always speak with like chakras, energetic centers. It's going all the way down to like your pelvic area, right? So it's this bidirectional highway, but it's really interesting too, because in, to parallel that, in yoga, we have this concept of Shakti and Shiva, and Shakti is that Mother Earth energy coming up. Shiva is that higher consciousness that we're all a part of, and it works as a bidirectional highway within our body. And so that's the vagus nerve. They just didn't call it the vagus nerve. But when, you know, you could go, I could just nerd out on this stuff for hours. Yeah. And obviously you can't do that here right now, but I would encourage anybody to maybe research the vagus nerve a little bit, understand how that works in your body, because you can have high tone and low tone vagal tones as well. And just learning about like the myofascial meridians in your body, that frontal, that superficial frontal line is the fear line. So it's like, obviously, when we feel fear, that tightens up, and then you get these knots in your fascia that surround the muscles, you know, like that white netting that holds the muscle and, the muscle in place. So then pair that with oxygen deprivation to that muscle. No wonder it hurts, you know? But just to understand that what we're suffering with is of the mind is a hard concept for people to grasp.
Yeah.
And there's still a little bit of a stigma with people that it's like, well, I'm not crazy. You know, nobody's calling you crazy. But that was something that I struggled to share my story, is because how weird is that? Your mouth burns.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Whereas like back pain is normal, or people that are like, well, I can't eat dairy after 2 PM or I'm all up all night with diarrhea. Like that's considered normal. But just the fact of how things affected you. And I do think that more people suffer with things than what they're willing to admit because of the stigma that surrounds things.
I think it's social contagion is part of it, but we're coming up on barbecue season, which inevitably means there will be lots of situations where you will probably go to a gathering of some kind and you'll all stand in a circle, the adults or whatever, the kids are off playing, and the adults will stand there, and it's only going to take a couple of minutes before people will start talking about their various physical ailments, because that's the norm. Versus if you, Trish, and maybe this is an opportunity for you this summer, is just start talking about your feelings and see how many people follow.
Right?
And they probably won't, but I first thought about that like 6 or 7 years ago, and now I can't unsee it. And that's why COVID having about 2 years of like, there's not a lot of events was sort of a break from all that. But yeah, it is, it's not considered a normal thing, but yes, the no dairy after 2 PM because I'll be up all night with diarrhea is for some reason a totally normal thing that people
talk
about.
And I'm using that example because I just saw somebody that told me that the other day, and I'm like, huh?
Yep.
You don't say.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. It's crazy, but, yeah, I do notice my work airing so much more towards TMS and helping people with, I mean, that's why people are coming to see me, is because they're suffering in their mind and in their body.
Yep.
You don't just come, you know, looking for alternative therapies. Usually it's where the medical system has kind of like thrown you away.
Yep.
And pretty much labeled it idiopathic. I hate that word idiopathic, because first it has the word, like, it sounds like idiot in it. And then secondly, it's just a fancy term for saying, we don't know what the hell is wrong with you, you know?
Yep.
But for anybody that's suffering right now, just to kind of like bring this to a close, like you'll get to the other side. You are not that one case that's not going to get better. You have to do the work, and you have to figure out the places in your life where you're experiencing internal misalignment. You're conflicted about something. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's the relationship you're in. Maybe it's the path or the trajectory of in which your life is currently going. And definitely, like I said, going back to Louise Hay, check her out. Everybody kind of has their own hodgepodge of different tools and skills that they use for TMS. And you really have to, look at it like it's fun. Like I actually really enjoyed reading TMS books. Mm-hmm. I enjoy listening to the podcast. I enjoy watching the videos because it allows you to feel connected to other human beings when you feel so alone. Like you feel so desperate. And that's definitely a space that I know people listening are in right now, but just to know that you're not alone and to know that there's somebody out there that, that doesn't think that you're crazy or, yep. you know, that you're broken. That's what's really beautiful. And I guess to kind of come full circle, that's what yoga means, is to yoke or to bring together. It's not about, you know, contorting your body in fancy positions on top of a mountain, like yeah. you'll see all the influencers, yeah, yeah, yeah. you know, it's about bringing everything together, and it brings together your mind, your body, and your spirit. So try some yoga out, like for sure. Like it helps teach you how to breathe properly.
Your body. How can people get in touch with you or reach you, or if somebody's listening to this that wants to
drop you a line? I have begun to see people virtually because I know not everybody can get to me. And it helps to have people that have gone through this themselves. So you can find me on Facebook. My business name is Red Feather Reiki. And I'll send you this stuff too, Eddie. Okay. But and then my Instagram name, I actually just changed it. It's peacefulwarrior.prana. Okay. So peacefulwarrior. And then prana, P-R-A-N-A. And prana is energy, life force. You know, I really believe everything should come from peace. You know, like you operate your best when you're
from a place of
in
that.
A peaceful state.
Yeah.
So you can get a hold of me on there. I've got an email and stuff like that too. But like I said, I'll give that stuff to Eddie. So anybody that wants to reach out, I don't know where all of this is currently taking me. Like I said, I just started my business a couple of months ago and I've been really busy, you know, super thankful, busy. And I'm graduating yoga school now. So I really hope to continue to do this work with people. Because really there is no greater feeling and healing to connect with another human being and to share your story and to transmute your pain into medicine for someone else. I think that's just absolutely beautiful. Yep. So,
Trish, thank you so much for being here. Let's keep in touch. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
We'll see you later. Right, bye.